Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're talking about managing stress, methodologies of getting things done without losing our minds, with special shout-outs to Steve Martin and the wise women who have told us to chill out when we needed it. Let's get into it. Hey there, Steven.
Hi, Laura.
How's life treating you?
Life said to me this week, hey man, we're going to throw a bunch of things at you and you're just going to have to figure out how to keep going with all these things. But no, I'm actually pretty good, all things considered.
Oh yeah, life be lifin'.
Oh yeah, life just comes at you sometimes. Whew. We got our kitten over here who seemed to have sprained his leg somehow doing a big jump. And now like everything just revolves around getting him better. And my whole life is gone. And now it's just making sure that he's good.
Oh yeah. We've been spending so much time together in the quarantine room.
Yeah. It's fun because he sort of resents it because he's in there, he's locked up and he can't really leave because he'll jump on all the things and he'll hurt his foot. But the other cat who doesn't like him, she's having the best time just exploring the rest of the house. She's like, your worst day is my best day. She's just having a great time enjoying the space to herself.
It's a good reminder that everybody's worst day is probably someone else's best day.
Right.
And so, maybe that's comforting. Maybe it's resentmenting.
It's just every day is something different for everyone. So I think today I'm thinking about managing stress. What about you?
Well, I too have stress to manage because I am also experiencing the cat situation. So it's like meds, isolation, enforced rest. He is into none of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to attack this problem with like a lot of yoga.
Yeah.
I guess it's working. I haven't died yet.
Yeah, you're still alive.
Stress.
You look relatively alive.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's kind of you to say. Managing stress is definitely what this week is about for me personally. A theme gifted to me, not by me, but by circumstance.
Yeah. And that's just the way life comes at you, right? Like
that's just the way life comes at you.
Anyone out there in the audience can relate when everything is just kind of going smoothly, everything is chill for a while, and then all of a sudden some big thing happens and you have to find a way to both manage it while keeping all of the other things that are important continuing to move forward without things falling to the wayside. And that's the time when you really have to do some aggressive prioritization. So I think for me, my biggest recommendation on how to deal with stress is aggressive prioritization. So you got a new thing you're dealing with. Maybe you got a kitten who's got a sprained foot or a sick kid, or I don't know, your freeway blew up and now you can't get to work, but you literally have to be there.
So yeah, or you don't have a car.
Or you don't have a car because someone else is using the car, or like your car is in the shop.
Your car has left you.
Oh, your car
to go to Texas.
It's left you for another
with
car.
Your dog.
Oh no, that sounds like a country song.
It sounds adjacent to a country song. I think it would have to be a truck.
Yeah, my truck left me with my dog, and they ran off to Texas to
start meet my ex-wife.
Ooh, and they all start a bluegrass band together with Steve Martin.
Dude, bluegrass is an unsung American music standard.
Yeah, apparently. I didn't know this, but we found out a couple months ago on a trivia night.
No, a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago on a trivia night that Steve Martin won
a Grammy
for a bluegrass album that he put together. Like, I had no idea, but
dude,
makes sense.
People don't even know about Steve Martin. Mm-mm. Like, he's just the silly white-haired guy from SNL maybe, or a number of beloved comedy movies in the 80s, 90s, and possibly 2000s? In the 80s and 90s, certainly. But this gentleman, he has Grammys. He has written books. I read his book, Object of Beauty. It's not the only one he's written. But Jesus, he is a gifted man.
Very talented.
Like, he's done stand-up. He has been an SNL cast member. He does acting on his own and alongside his SNL compatriots. He writes, he plays music. He is the man that I want to be.
Yeah.
I would sacrifice my hair color for that kind of power.
Right? Just turn your hair white. All of a sudden, now you're doing everything and you're doing it excellently. That's a man who clearly, number one, knows where his talent lies, knows how talented he is, but also knows how to aggressively prioritize, I bet. that's like having that many things in your life, you really have to figure out what is important and what you can let fall to the wayside. What I like to think about when a bunch of things are coming my way is I'm juggling a lot of things right now. Which of these are made of glass and which of these are made of rubber? Because obviously I have to pick something else up, but I have to drop something. So which of these, when I drop, will they break and which of them will bounce? Because obviously I'm going to want to drop the ones that I think won't break if I drop them. That's how I like to think about it. Like, if I don't do this thing, is my world going to fall apart? Is someone else's world going to fall apart? Is someone going to be very mad at me if I don't do this thing? If none of those things are true, all right, maybe I can not do that for a little bit while I deal with this new stressor in my life.
In this metaphor, what is a glass ball and what is a rubber ball to you?
Well, in this metaphor, a glass ball is like my work, my 9-to-5, the thing that literally pays the bills and keeps the lights on. That's something that I cannot I cannot deprioritize. Other thing, my physical and mental health, very, very, very important. Mm-hmm. That is, I've realized that is a glass ball. I used to think that was a rubber ball, but then I would drop it sometimes and I'd be like, wow, I feel really loopy right now. Oh, right. I've been doing all this work and I forgot to exercise last week. No wonder I feel crazy.
As a woman, I completely understand.
Right? That to me is a glass ball. An example of a rubber ball is like a fun running group that I love to go and be with, but I don't necessarily have to go there to exercise. Sometimes it takes up too much time. Sometimes I have to put that on the back burner. Or like a video game that I want to play that is open world that is going to take a ton of time. If I need a video game to de-stress, that kind of makes it a bit of a glass ball. I can play something a little cozier, something a little smaller than like an open world game, which I know is just going to suck up all my time in those situations. So those are examples of glass balls and rubber balls in my life. And I sometimes you're wrong. You know, sometimes you think something is a rubber ball and you drop it and you're like, oh no, it broke. Oh, but you learn and you carry on and you don't beat yourself up about it.
So self-knowledge is also helpful in this process of determining the nature of the ball in your life.
Yes. Self-knowledge and self-trust. You have to be able to trust yourself and your circumstances to be able to put some things down and know that even if you put down the wrong thing and it does break, as long as it's not a big enough thing, it's probably okay. Mm. Probably okay. But you know to not do that next time. That's how I like to manage stress. Aggressive prioritization.
Mm. Okay.
What about you?
I'm not a prioritization girly. I view my life as an ecosystem and I determine what is the thing I have to do. Mm. And then I put myself in the place of the thing that I have to do. And then I assemble the other parts of my life around that thing. So in the case of my cat needs to have enforced rest so he doesn't go breaking his leg or lengthening his recovery time. I'm like, okay, so I have to physically be inside this quarantine room. I have a switch hitter, which is you, so occasionally I can leave. And that means that I can put exercise, which will keep me sane, in there and like a couple of errands that have to be done. I can do those because I have someone who will be inside the room with the cat ensuring that it doesn't jump on things because, oh boy, does he wish to jump.
Loves it.
He wants it so bad. It's tragic. Like, I've never seen this little kitten so despondent as when he is denied aggressive physical activity and it's like the one thing he can't do.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I can work in here. Okay, I can read in here, because one of the things that is a job that I've given myself is working through an insane library book cadence. So I'm like, excellent. Determine what can be done in the limitations of what needs to be done. Mm. So basically I decorate my life around my major obligation.
Gotcha, gotcha. So whatever ecosystems you need to be in, you decorate your life or organize what you can do within that ecosystem, like you're in the cat room.
Yeah, my life is a world, and the centerpiece of the world, the thing that needs to be done, is the space that will occupy my time, and then I can set up other things around it, and hopefully that'll all work out.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's kind of how I see everything, as like an ecosystem. I don't really see things as things. I see them in relationship to each other. And that is how I work through stress. But it's how I work through everything. Establishing the boundaries of what is required.
Yeah.
And then determining what can be done in those boundaries.
I think that's helpful. It's really different than the way that I managed. And that's why I'm listening with rapt attention, because I it's kind of a foreign concept to me.
Oh.
I mean, I sometimes think about that. Like if I'm in an area and I'm watching TV, sometimes I'll go, all right, what else can I do while I'm here? all right, I'll do some laundry. But sometimes I totally forget that I can just do that. Like, I can be relaxing, unwinding, watching TV, and also doing laundry at the same time. And it really doesn't take much mental bandwidth or physical bandwidth to do that.
Oh, yeah. I can't. Yeah. People who fold laundry without the television on, or like a podcast or an audio, without right. some form of entertainment, are psychopaths.
Like, what are they doing? Are they just like in a dark room with no sound and no light, just folding laundry? Like, how do you not need something in the background?
Like, laundry is the definition of plus time.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it just requires your hands and none of your brain, and you can have your brain do something while you do something with your hands.
It's also, I gotta be honest.
I say that, of course, and like the unfolded laundry is like a little pile right. to the left of the bed.
But again,
staring.
But again, that's kind of a rubber ball, right? Like, if you don't fold the laundry, it's fine. Like, yeah. Worst case, your clothes might be a little bit rumpled, but if you don't do laundry over, like, you know, 3 weeks or two uh-huh. weeks or whatever, then that's
a glass ball,
right? Like, you can't walk outside wearing stuff that you've been wearing for a day or so.
No, people will smell you, so, and like, then they'll hit you with reeds.
So, like, a very wise woman once told me that not everything on my to-do list has to be done. It was the most enlightenment I had felt in a work setting.
A very wise woman once said to me, "This is not a battle I choose."
Yes. Oh, she did. I know exactly who you're talking about. We're not gonna call her out, but yeah.
Shout out to the coolest cousin.
Dude,
yeah. His name shall be redacted.
Anonymous.
Anonymous.
No, but that is some very solid advice. Both of them are, I think they're really taking to heart the thought that you don't have to do everything. Some things just don't have to be done. In fact, some things, your time would be better spent and you would just feel better if you didn't even touch them. You're going to make it worse if you try to do this thing.
Oh, yeah. And within the productivity cult of the United States, I think we forget that doing nothing is good and productive.
And sometimes it is the best option. I know, folks, that sounds insane, but it is true. Sometimes just doing literally nothing is the best option because, number one, it gives you time to think about the thing. Is it important? Is it urgent? Is it something that I can delegate? Is it something that I need to do this week? You can think about that. But you can also think about, okay, if I do this, why haven't I done this for a while? Have I not done this because if I do this thing, it's going to make 10 other things significantly worse, and then I'll have to address all of those 10 other things? Like, if you have a, I don't know, you have like a rusty pipe or something in your ceiling, and you haven't addressed it for a long time because you know that when you do that, you're going to like mess up the whole piping system and then you're going to have to fix the whole thing. You just need to know, like, is me feeling better about doing this one tiny thing going to help me and my group overall? Or is it actually like the first step in like a 10-step plan and I need to like wait until we're ready to do it to actually do it? So that's something I think about a lot. Whether or not something needs to be done, how soon it needs to be done.
Oh, yeah. You know?
And if I am going to do it, what else am I going to have to do very quickly afterwards? Because you don't always think about that.
I always think about life as kind of like an assembly line of tasks. The assembly line is how I perform the tasks. But I think of it as like a war with supply lines. I think about everything in the context of war. It's a problem, maybe a solution. I don't know. Read my college entrance essay. But like,
I love to love war. It's got me thinking about the Very Important People show. I love to love war. I don't actually, but please continue.
I have no idea what you're referencing, and I'm sure neither do the listeners.
Somebody out there does. Anyway, go ahead.
Would you like to tell us what you're referencing?
Oh, it's just the Very Important People show with Vic Michaelis on YouTube, and it's hilarious. Anyway.
All right. Fantastic. All. Love a Vic. So wars are won through supply lines. Basically, you need the resources and the manpower, and that is how things are accomplished. Maybe society would be a better comparison, but war just has an urgency to it that I like to apply to my own life. So I'm like, what supply lines do my soldiers need to perform the tasks they're given? We need food. We need clothing. We need the financial smoothness of getting things done. The car needs to be in working order. It needs to be gassed up. Our physical bodies need to be taken care of, exercised. Our minds need to be underranged. Yeah. So they need necessary amounts of rest. And so I kind of think of that as like I'm the general of my own life. And I determine tasks by what supply lines are most urgent and what are closest to collapsing. Mm. And then I just move around, switch hitting and assigning resources and activities to the different arenas of the war that is my life. The theater of war that is my life.
The theater that is war, that is my life.
I think that's probably the reason that I got into like the war thing in my own mind was because I heard it being referred to as the theater. Where battle is happening is the theater of war.
Yeah, you love theater.
I do. It's one of the only things that makes sense to me.
I mean, war is very theatrical and dramatic.
I mean, you know, it really depends on the era.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is dramatic. And it is the only thing I've observed in human history to make cultures actually do the thing they said that they're going to do. Like, it lights a fire underneath you and suddenly you are prioritizing monetary disbursements. You're prioritizing production. Even the citizenry is on board with like rationing and creating victory gardens, donating scraps for the war effort. Like, I've never seen any activity in human existence motivate a population like war. And apparently I need that level of motivation to do my own things in my own life. I'll talk to somebody about it.
The cats are available. They would love to talk to you about war.
Yeah. So given all of that, the way that I am unstressed is by determining that the supply lines of my life are well-regulated, well-supplied. There's no incoming cutting off of the supply line. But I do stress out about the supply lines kind of regularly. I pore over them like an Excel spreadsheet.
How militant of a view you have on the world. It is all one theater of war, and if it's what gets you to do the thing, then hey, you know what? More power to you. You know, sometimes you just need a little extra motivation to actually do it, because if it's just, oh, these are the things I need to do because someone said so, or because I think I need to do them, it's not as compelling as like, okay, guys, there's a war that we need to win. You know?
Do you see that out there?
Do you see that?
They are trying to destroy our way of life.
Who are they?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, I won't.
They're the never-ending forces of entropy.
Now it's all I'm going to worry about. Oh no, the never-ending forces of entropy. No, it's that's a really interesting perspective. I don't know how I see the world in like a project priority place. I think I see all the things that need to be done as a ton of lists and a ton of like Kanban boards. They're very abstract to me, to be honest. Yeah, they're all like Kanban lists, backlogs, prioritization lists. They're all just a bunch of lists, and they're cards that move from left to right. And I find the abstraction really helpful in dealing with the stress of them. Because to be honest, I don't need motivation to get anything done. In fact, I need motivation to slow down, pump the brakes, and try not to get everything done all at once. So for me, I need something that makes the thing that needs to be done, and it smooths it out. It makes it less in my face and demanding. And to do that, I think about it in boards and lists and abstract concepts that need to be done or taken care of, instead of, if I don't buy us food, we're all going to die next week.
Our way of life will be threatened. It's not that you're going to die. It's that the way of your life will be threatened.
Yeah, but no, I get it. I get it. I'm the opposite camp, and I see that's why we work.
Oh, well, yeah, you are the yin to my yang.
Yeah.
Or actually the yang to my yin.
I wake up in the morning, and this is my little secret. Most days I'm just like, all right, what needs to get done? Let's go. Let's do it now. I am no fun in the morning, as you probably realized. And so I need that abstract, that calmness, that coolness to like disconnect me from the things that need to get done. And that's how I deal with stress, by reminding myself to calm the heck down about all the things that I think need to get done immediately.
Well, what a helpful case study for our listeners,
right?
In the management of stress.
Yeah.
We have divergent philosophies.
We do.
But still, a same burning passion for getting things done.
Yeah. Well, that said, should we call it a day?
I think we should. Have a great day, listeners.
All right, folks. Have a great rest of your lunch break, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.